Dear Lord, we're very grateful that we can come here and hear your word. We pray that it would really speak to us, that we would hear it in our heart and in our mind, and that the word would change us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, turn with me to John chapter 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 18. And this is where Jesus is coming before Pontius Pilate. Now, I've had two things for you to do. I had you go in and read the book of Deuteronomy, correct? Mm-hmm. I had you read in the book of Acts, right? I've had you look up the works of Jesus that Jesus came to do, correct? And you know, all those things that I have given you to do are pretty effectual in changing the thought or changing our life and how we go about living. All of it should have a very fruitful impact on you. And, you know, a lot of times we find it easier to do something else than to do what we have assigned you to do. How many of you can attest to that, right? But the reason that those things are very specific to what we are giving to you, we're coming to a time where God is getting excited. If I can say it that way, heaven is getting excited. As we grow in sonship, the time of the Father pouring out his Spirit from heaven is at hand. How many is believing that today? The time of the Father, the appointed time of the Father to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh is at hand. That should be a preeminent thought in each and every one of us, that as we continue on what the elders are saying, that God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Very important. So Jesus, when he came on the scene, right, he got baptized of John the Baptist. We've talked about that a little bit, and we know that John and his mind, he needed to be baptized of the Lord. But Jesus said, John, we got to get this done because it's up to you and I to fulfill all righteousness. So let's get to this, my son. Let's get after it. So John baptized Jesus. And when John baptized Jesus, what happened? When John baptized Jesus, what happened?
The heavens opened.
And the Spirit of the Lord in the form of a dove lit upon Jesus Christ. And Jesus became the anointed one from heaven. Now, I want you to think about that. Consider those things. The moment that John, did the Lord tell him to baptize him?
Yes.
He did. So John fulfilled what the Lord said to do. And the minute they fulfilled it, the heavens opened, and here came the Holy Ghost. That simple act of obedience to the word of God opened up heaven. And God set forth the Holy Ghost upon himself to anoint him to preach the word of God in the earth. Now, if that happened for Jesus, does it need to happen for us? It does. It's our example of how God wants to use his word in obedience for each and every one of us. So now Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate. And he's asking him some very pointed questions. And then Jesus speaks something very important for all of us to hear. So I'm going to start reading with verse 32. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered Pilate and said, You say this thing of yourself. Do you say this thing of yourself, or did someone else tell you this of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? Pilate said, I'm not a Jew. I would never call you a king. He said, Your own nation delivered you unto me. And Jesus answered, No, very important. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Remember listening to the, we listened to the conferences from years past of Rick preaching and teaching at those conferences, right? What world did Rick say we needed to enter into?
Jesus' world.
We need to enter into Jesus's world. This world is not my kingdom. We need to enter into Jesus's world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. He's being very specific about the kingship that he has, and it's not of this world, correct? His kingdom is in heaven. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. To this end I was born." Now listen, "and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." So why did Jesus come into the world? He came to bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Man. Everyone that hears the truth hears my voice. So then Pilate asked him, well, then what is the truth? Correct? Isn't that the next statement that Pilate says? Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, "I find no fault in him at all." So in one, I think in the translation that Luke writes in his gospel, that Pilate washed his hands and was clean of the whole thing. He's putting it all on the Jews who brought Jesus to him. John chapter 8. Now we're going to read a little bit in this morning, if that's okay with you guys, because it's important. Jesus is the truth. We all know that Jesus is the truth. He even says in John 14, when he's standing before his disciples, and Thomas says, "If you're the Son of God, then show us the Father." And Jesus says, "Thomas, have I not been with you so long that you don't know who I am? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Now think about that. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How many of you have seen Jesus? Well, only you would know, right? If you've seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. And in seeing Jesus, did Jesus look like a man or did Jesus look like God? That's the question. God is a spirit, right? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In truth. So does God look like the truth? Did Jesus come to bear witness of the truth, to bear witness of everything that was true forever from beginning to end? And yes, he did. Let's look at this. I'm going to start reading. Oh, I'll just start in verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Now, was Jesus very bold about entering into the temple? And did he hide himself in the temple? Or did he sat in a place in the temple where all the people could come and hear what he had to say? Correct? Who are you today? What is the Bible? Who does the Bible say that you are? Because the Bible says that you're the temple. Was Jesus making himself known in the temple so that every thought, every person in you, because we said before that thoughts have our souls, right? Didn't we say that just a few weeks ago? Every thought has a soul. So Jesus comes to speak to your thoughts, to your souls that are in you, to bring to them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he openly walks into the temple, sits down, and the people come to him, and he begins to speak to them. Now listen to this. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" And this they said, tempting him. Nah. So now does he hear and recognize the thought and intent of their heart? So is he looking at the woman who was caught in the adultery? Or is he looking at the thought and intent of they that brought her to him? They're
Attention.
looking at the thought and intent of them that brought her to him. This they said, tempting him that they might have it. right to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. We've talked about this story, this parable, many times, correct? Jesus just stooped over and began to write in the ground. Now, the Bible does not say what he wrote. But how were they convicted? They were convicted in their conscience. Here's the truth in their midst. And he's not addressing the accusation that they're bringing to him, right? He's acting like he's not even hearing it. And he just stoops over and he begins to write in the ground. And I don't want to make an assumption this morning about what he wrote. I think I know what he wrote. As he continues to ignore their thought, because he knows their intent, they begin to leave because they're being convicted in their own hearts. Because Jesus simply stood up and said, what? Let you him who is without sin cast the first stone. So did he ask them to consider their own thought? And in their thought, were they sinless? No. Their consciousness bore witness with them, knowing that they were not without sin. How about us? Do we have a consciousness of sin? Or is Jesus imputing unto us a consciousness?
He's imputing righteousness.
He's imputing it. And how is he doing that, Tom?
Through his word.
He's doing it through the truth. He's doing it through the truth. Let's go on. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw no one but the woman, he said unto her, Where were your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And Jesus said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and do what?
Sin no more.
Sin no more. There had to be a transaction. There had to be something taking place between the woman and the law and the Christ, right? Yet Jesus said, I do not accuse you of sin. I want to tell you this, though. I want you to go, and I want you to sin no more. What did he have to impart into her that would cause her not to sin anymore?
His righteousness.
There was an impartation from the word of truth in Jesus to a woman who was caught in adultery that she would go and sin no more. Can you imagine having a heart of hearing the Lord, hearing the word of God, Tammy, that as you heard it, there would be a transference in your own consciousness that what this man is telling me, what the Lord is telling me, I can go and sin no more. How many of us, I think about this, I'm thinking about myself, not all of you. How many of us in times past have received a word from the Lord and we knew it was God and we knew that he is imparting unto us his own righteous self, and immediately we start making an excuse. Well, I can go do it one more time. I can do it and he'll forgive me. I can do it. How many of you have said it that way to yourself? Well, I know I'm speaking to every one of us, but I'm specifically speaking to myself, right? I am the judge of my own character when it comes to that. I don't even have Jesus to accuse me of that anymore. Jesus is not accusing his sons of sin. He is setting out the path, the way, the truth, and the life of righteousness that we should follow him. Remember when Jesus came in the beginning and began to call disciples? And he told them, cast down your nets, come and follow me. I will make you what? Fishers of men. And so they began to follow Jesus. And as they followed Jesus, what did Jesus impart unto those men? His righteousness. That's what he began to impart unto them. In fact, they would bring up many things in their conversation with Jesus. That's why the important part is for us to go and read the conversation, the sayings of Jesus, the things he spoke to his disciples that transferred them from being disciples and made them apostles. Because it was the imputation of his righteousness upon their mind and their consciousness that caused them to become apostolic, caused them to become the sons of God. And it's the same for each and every one of us. Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Listen to this now. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear record of yourself, and your record is not true. Okay. What did the Pharisee say? That his record is what? Not true. How many of you have accused yourself of not bearing witness of the truth? And we will tell ourselves, well, I can hear the word about being a son of God, but I don't walk like one. How many of you have said that you don't walk like a son of God? Is that believing God or is that not believing God? That's unbelief. That's just like the children of Israel, right? They're going to go into the promised land, but they couldn't enter in because of what? Unbelief. God hath said that you are his son. And we got to stop hearing the flesh tell us, no, you're not. Because that's exactly what the flesh wants us to believe. That we are not sons. That we are not sons. We are. The Father has said so. Jesus said this, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. So what's convincing you that you are not a son? The flesh. You hear that mind very, very often, Tammy?
Every day.
Every day. Do you want to come to a place where you don't hear that mind anymore? Yeah. Amen. Amen. We do. Let's see. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. So by the mouth of two witnesses, correct? Who's the two witnesses? The Father and the Son. Two witnesses. How much more do you need? Then they said unto him, where is your Father? Jesus answered them, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Now we get into the place where it becomes critical, right? If I know God, will I know the Son? The answer is yes. If I'm hearing their voice, if I know the Son, will I know the Father? The answer is yes. We know the scripture where Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, well, we talked about this earlier this morning. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Father, if you know the Father, then you know me. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Now, do you think he was making them mad? Who's the they that he was making mad? So the thoughts in you that don't want you to know you're a son, they're getting ticked off. That religious mind in you, that religious mind. We said earlier this morning, what does the Pharisee use to convict the consciousness?
The word of God.
He uses the word of God. But it's a fleshly thought, not a spiritual thought of the same word. Let him cast them out. Why do you think that the Jews got so mad at Jesus that they wanted to crucify him? It's because he came with the truth. And as he spoke to them of the truth, with the Father and the Son bearing witness of his word, everything they did in their orthodoxy to be Jewish, Jesus cut it away. He cast it out and told them, this is not how you enter into heaven. This is not how you have a heavenly conversation with God. The only way that you can have a heavenly conversation with God is to enter in the Spirit through believing that I am his son and I was sent to bring you home again. That is the only way. Man, did that make them mad. They believed that their works were good enough to bring them into heaven itself. They believed it. Folks, hear me this morning. Those thoughts live in us on a daily basis. We think that what we do is good enough to get us into heaven, not knowing Jesus by the Spirit. And if we don't know Jesus by the Spirit, we're not getting in. I'm saying that very, very clear and very clean for you this morning. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the only way that you can come in before the Father. Let's go on. Then Jesus again said to them, I go my way and you shall seek me and you shall die in your sins. Let the imagination of God open your mind this morning. Put yourself in the place. Here's Jesus in the temple and he begins to speak these words, correct? And as he's speaking the words, he gets right down to the bone of it. You're still in your sin. You're still in your sin. And where I go, you cannot come. Oh my gosh, man. You think they're getting madder? Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. Can you hear their imagination through the flesh? They're not seeing who he is at all. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Where's the gray area here?
There isn't any.
There's no gray area. He's taking it away, correct? He's making a great definition so that we can begin to understand that our works are not acceptable unto God. And really, God made it very clear in the book of Genesis. When Cain tried to bring his own works before the Father, rather than obeying the commandment that God gave him, he decided to go another way and to bring that work unto the Father. How did the Father react to that?
Not very good.
Not very good. Did he accept that work of Cain? No. And did he tell Cain that his works were not accepted? He even told him, he said, Cain, listen, sin lies at the door here. And you can either keep the commandment and keep sin abated, or you can walk through the door where sin lies and become sin. And then he asked him, did you kill your brother? And what did he say? I am not my brother. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, no. And yet God said, well, interesting, because I hear your brother's blood crying from the ground. Interesting. So Cain, you're a liar. He didn't say that in the scripture, but it's true. Because who did Cain partake of? The devil. And what does God say the devil is?
A liar.
He's a liar from the beginning, and Cain just proved it. Who is Jesus? He's the truth. Is God a liar?
Oh.
Bible says God is not a liar. He is the truth. And so the contradiction in our mind then is Jesus says nothing but the truth. Satan says nothing but the lie. And we have this consciousness within. We know that we know the mind of the flesh because I've worked years at creating it. And now Jesus is creating the mind of the Spirit, if we will open our mind to it. And so now I have this existence in my mind, both flesh and spirit. Good, right hand, evil, left hand, right? And there's a wide chasm between the two. So Jesus, in the scripture, there's another parable about Lazarus, correct? And Abraham. In the New Testament. And Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man who thought that his riches could buy him his entrance. What did it buy him his entrance into? Hell. Bought his entrance into hell. That's how much our works count with the Lord. But Lazarus, who had nothing, was in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man could see him. And he begged God, send him to my family that they might know the truth. That they might know the truth. And you know what God told him? Your family has the law and the prophets. And if they won't believe the law and the prophets, they won't believe one risen from the dead either. Now that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? So can I know Jesus Christ from the law and the prophets? When Jesus came, what did he speak? What did he preach? The law and the prophets. That's what he preached. Only he preached the fullness of it. He preached himself, because everything that they said in the law and the prophets, he was manifest to them as the evidence of the truth. And now he's getting ready to prove to them that he's the resurrection and the life. Because what are they going to do to him? They're going to crucify him. And what's going to happen then? He's going to be raised up. And they're going to know that you cannot kill the truth, that you cannot do away with the witness of the truth. And it's going to be a witness in your consciousness forever. And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not. Then he said the same thing to Pilate just a few verses earlier, right? I'm not of this world. So we need to enter into the world of Jesus Christ by believing the truth. And when we enter into the world of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden the works of the Spirit become manifest in us. Brian preached a message not too long ago to the ministry group that everything we do, how should we do it? As unto the Lord. Everything. Even if it's in this life, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Because the Lord is your consciousness. Your consciousness is being changed. It's receiving the truth. And how many of you know that in receiving the truth, you're beginning to let the truth create the imagination of God in you? Man, that's an evidence that I want to bear about in my body, that I have a consciousness of the truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm going to skip down. You can go read the balance of that on your own. And I'm going to come down to verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. So is Jesus teaching you today?
Yep.
Is Jesus teaching you? I believe Jesus has been teaching you many things. And you know, if I will start rehearsing what I've heard the Father say to myself, then what will I hear in my speech? My speech will become that which I heard the Father say. So I'm rehearsing those words in my ears. One thing that we can do, because we have a commandment of God that we are to preach his gospel, and we're to preach it by the faith of the word of God. So that word that is nigh thee in my mouth and in my heart, that is that word of faith that what? That we preach. It's powerful. It is sharp. It is quick. And it divides. It does everything that God has sent it to do. So preach that word in your world, because that world is being changed into whose world? Jesus' world. Every time you hear the preaching of the word of God, it is opening the entrance for you to enter into the world of Jesus Christ, where you can freely preach that word of truth. And he sent me, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. And Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So what do we need to do?
Continue
in his word. In other words, I'm going to preach what Jesus said in my world. That's the continuance. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if I practice the truth, then I'm speaking that which I heard Jesus say, and it's making me free. Free from what?
Sin and death.
Okay. It's making me free from my trespasses and sins, right? It's making me free to live in the Spirit, as Jesus said. And they answered him, well, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How do you say that you shall be made free? And Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, Whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. So are you being translated from being a servant to being a son? That's what's happening to you. You're being made a son. Who rules over a servant? But the son has what kind of a heart? How about a servant's heart? Because he serves to do the will of the Father, doesn't he? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and you do that which you have seen of your father. He's really getting to the bones of it now, isn't he? And they said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, now listen to this, you would do the works of Abraham. When Jesus said that, I know who your father is, did he know who their father was? Who was it?
The devil.
It was the devil. They thought it was Abraham. They thought they were the children of faith. They thought they knew who them, they knew themselves and who they were. Then they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth that I have heard of God. This is what Abraham did. Isn't this what Abraham did also? They say Abraham is their father. And yet Jesus did exactly what Abraham did because Jesus told Abraham to do it. Jesus accounted Abraham as righteous. So the word that Jesus gave to Abraham to make righteous, he is. And they couldn't see it. The Pharisaical mind cannot see it. The religious mind cannot see it because we're so stuck in the works of the flesh. We're so stuck in a mind that cannot hear the truth, believing that we are the truth without Jesus Christ. I can know the truth without Jesus. And how many echoes do you hear in this world today that are saying those things? Let's enter into the world of Jesus Christ, where the works of the Spirit are made manifest in us every moment of every day. And we begin to walk in the truth of Jesus Christ and not in the works of the flesh. Can you say amen? Well, I hope this morning, as you can continue to read these things in John 8, but it brings this it brings a definition to it where, listen, if we're hearing it, then we're understanding that my works before the Father are evil. They are wicked. They are not wrought in God. They're wrought in the devil. But if I'm walking in the spirit of truth, I'm being made free from the works of sin and death. I'm being made free from an old life. And I'm finding my freedom in Jesus Christ forevermore. Amen. You begin to hear in your consciousness and hear the truth when the truth said, you are my son because you are. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you this morning. I hope it provoked your heart because you are the Son of God in spirit and in truth as you take on the righteousness of the Father. God bless you today. Amen.